Save big money right now at Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kidde Home Safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors are perfect for your living spaces, offering protection and peace of mind. Save big money on all Kidde products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Let's talk to Tim Gregory. He is the Chief Investment Manager for Vermeer Investment Management. Very good morning to you, young Tim.
Morning, Nick.
Right, let's kick off crude oil, four-year highs. I read with interest about 6 months ago a very clever economist suggesting there's always $10 of premium in crude oil, which is basically risk, but geopolitical effectively. Sure. Obviously, we've seen what's happened in Korea, fantastic news. Now we've got the Iran situation, we've got Trump making headlines on crude oil, etc., etc. Where do we go from here?
Well, hard to know when the president's obviously withdrawn from the deal, and most other Western leaders in Australia are still seem to be in favour of the deal.
Yep.
So politically, very hard to say, to be honest. But you know what we've been saying is that from an equity standpoint, you know, the most important thing to focus on, as far as we're concerned, is that the most of the large oil companies have significantly reduced the break-even point at which they're profitable,
yep,
generate cash and can pay dividends to shareholders. And the evidence of the quarterly results that we've just seen, particularly companies like Statoil, Chevron, who've done well, continue to invest through the cycle, but now harvesting that investment at lower break-evens with, yep, oil prices higher than nearly everybody forecast, to be honest, are generating very good cash and looking a better position than they have done for a long time.
So you're still basically long oil?
So we're not long oil on a sector basis. If you look at the sector in general, it's about 6% of the global benchmark. Quite a big chunk of that is Exxon alone, which,
right,
we don't own. If you strip that out, it's, yep, always very convenient to say, well, if you don't do this and you don't do that. But the fact is, we would be neutral, modestly overweight, but our focus is purely on highly cash generative, mega cap oil producers who've worked really hard to get their break-evens down. Plus, as I said before, you know, we've introduced a position in Schlumberger because we think the CapEx cycle has to bottom out here. I mean,
yep,
particularly if oil prices do hold up unexpectedly high with or without geopolitical tension. So, you know, we've had this move, which probably has been partly based on geopolitical tension, but is also based on stronger than expected demand and no new supply coming on stream because there's been this massive CapEx hiatus. So, you know, we think there's an opportunity in that as well.
Okay. Let's move on to Mr. Carney, Bank of England. You've correctly predicted this year that there would not be a rate hike in May. What would you be doing if you were Mr. Carney now? Is there still a chance?
Well, we don't know that there won't be a rate hike in May. You know, what we discussed was that the evidence of UK retail, auto retailing, you know, second-hand car markets, the property market, the evidence of that suggested there should be no need for a rise. And where we've got to now is, I think there's statistically interest rate futures predicting a 13% chance still of a rate hike. Less than a month ago, that was pretty much 100.
Yep.
So yes, the odds have moved to there being no rate rise. And quite simply, I would still not be considering a rate rise. I think, you know, the yesterday's housing data from the Halifax, now I admit you shouldn't just overreact to 1 month's number, and it can be quite an erratic series. But if you look at 3 months as a whole, UK housing has stagnated on the evidence of,
yep,
that. That tells me that there continues to be absolutely no reason to change interest rate policy anytime soon, let alone this week.
Okay, let's move on to equity markets in general. You suggested at the beginning of the year we'd seen the highs, okay, and we would have failed to rally to those points. Obviously, highlights of the share buyback in Amazon, Mr. Buffett, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Are you still leaning towards that?
Yes, but, you know, as I, you know, I've also said, we're now at 2650 on the S&P 500. So, you know, there's quite a playable rally gap if we get anywhere close to the 2870 that we saw at the end of January.
Mm.
So it does feel, I mean, yesterday was classic case in point. I mean, there was enormous volatility. Dow was down 200, finished flat. I mean, almost exactly flat yesterday on the day. And we're seeing these, you know, high volatility intraday moves, 4 or 5 days of falls, and then the market seems to bounce off the 200-day moving average, which people have become quite obsessed by as well. And so we do seem just to be in this narrow corridor for the time being, where there's geopolitical concerns on the one hand, there's policy concerns, there are anxieties about a variety of factors. There's good news, as you pointed out earlier, on North Korea, if that does turn out the way everybody hopes. And the US earnings season has been better even than what were high expectations.
Yep.
Having said that, in a lot of cases, because very good earnings were expected, there hasn't been that much of a follow through. But, you know, Amazon, to your point, close to all-time highs, Microsoft right up there, Cisco, all these stocks have continued to perform well. But on the other side of that, there have been some companies that have slightly disappointed and their shares have been under pressure. So there's been this sort of two-way pull in the market. And frankly, I can't really see any reason, apart from a left-field event that we clearly don't know about at this point
in time.
So you
think the market's effectively at equilibrium?
Yeah, I do. Absolutely. I think, you know, we had this period where the market was very overbought, then we sold off very aggressively down to around, I think, 2550 on the S&P 500. We've bounced around off that ever since. Every time the market looks like it's going to break down, it rallies, and then every time gives you the confidence. So it's like, oh, the market's finding its feet, comes away again.
Okay, that 200-day moving average, you're a fund manager. The market above it, you're bullish in theory, and below it, you should be very, very wary. It's worked incredibly well recently on the S&P 500. Now, there was a very good article in the FT recently. Basically said that once it breaks the 200-day moving average, you can ignore the fundamentals, the mechanical sellers will come in, you know, the algos will come in and sell it for whatever reason because it's below the 200-day moving average. In the real world, is it that simple?
Well, it might well be, and we'll have to wait and see till we get that point. To this point, every time we've intraday been below, the market's
it's
rallied.
Snapped back. Yep.
So who knows? I'm not a technical trader. You know, we don't look at that. What we see is when markets get down to that level,
the buyers come in.
Well, we can find a number of stocks that we're happy to add from our cash to. So we're still running circa 12% cash. We're happy to have high cash balances. We think the market's in neutral. It's all about stock selection. So, you know, that to us, unless something had fundamentally shifted very negatively that we don't see right now, that would create, if that did occur, would create a very good buying opportunity for a rally later on this year that actually might not still take out the 2872.
But
from a level broken down below 2550 or somewhere like that, would, you know, that would represent a big rally,
yep,
even if we got back to 2850 by the year end. You know, and we're still in a situation, aren't we, where interest rates are low and bond yields have been amazingly cooperative. The shift to 3% that everybody was terrified of and then what would happen there, to this point, we've shifted to 3 and everyone said, oh, thanks very much indeed. That'll be all. We're at 3. And we've really hovered around that level now for a few weeks. Who knows which way, you know,
let's
it goes from here.
Let's see what happens when it gets to 3.5.
Well, if it gets to 3.5.
And that's the big million-dollar question. That's
absolutely
the money.
Yep.
I'm watching it every day. Tim, run out of time. Thank you very much.
Great to see you. Thanks for your time, Nick.
Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain-rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on Pristine Exterior Paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save.